Welcome to Nature Now, an original production by KPTZ volunteers. Nature Now is a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of Nature Now at kptz.org.
Welcome to Nature Now for mid-December. This is Mary Robson, and I've been admiring the beautiful conifers all around us. They are shining now, and they make every scene a celebration. Imagine if you could only see evergreens in a tree lot in New York. Oh, the native cedar looks especially good now after dropping the orange segments that appear in late summer. That is the natural process of clearing the three-year-old growth. Today, we'll talk again with Christy Lassen about birds and about the local care for the injured or ill. We have a mystery sound today. It's going to sound familiar to some of you, because when I identify it, I will tell you why I am playing it again. So I am fortunate right now to be able to introduce Christy Lassen. Christy and her husband Mark own Wild Birds Unlimited in Gardner. She is a constant bird observer and has joined me often on Nature Now. I got into this question of rehabilitating birds because I was intrigued by the media coverage of that saw-whet owl rescued out of Rockefeller Center's holiday tree. It had had a two-day journey inside a tree that had probably been cut earlier. The owl was described as a baby in some accounts, only because the writers did not know that an adult saw-whet owl measures only about 7 inches. They do live inside conifers. I found a picture of one close to the trunk. And this rehabilitation story hit the media because it happened in New York City. But the saving of birds happens daily, worldwide. Christy, you've picked up injured birds and seen more birds in need of care than most of us ever do. Why don't you introduce us to a little bit of what you've seen? But the first thing is, what happens if you're driving down the road and you see a bird on the margin that seems to be hurt? How do you proceed?
We always try to make sure that it's a safe situation to be able to help an injured bird, especially if you're driving down a road. There's been a couple of times where my husband especially loves seagulls. He's seen a seagull injured on the Hood Canal Bridge, which is not a safe place to pull over and try and pick up a bird. We've done some serious hikes of parking, you know, in the parking lot at the far end of the bridge and walking back and picking up a bird and carrying them back to the car. So there's been a couple of incidents. You always want to try to make sure that you are safe, you know, to help out injured wildlife. I feel too very strongly that the first thing to do is try to remain calm. I feel that birds and animals can really pick up on our emotions and our energies that we put out there. Mark and I, so we try to approach, you know, the bird with calm, with a calm demeanor and clear intention of what we're going to try to do to help this bird.
And Christy, you have some supplies with you that you generally carry?
We always have a little kit in our car. And it's always good to have like a blanket in your car just in general to have something like that. We have a pair of welder's gloves that we keep in our car too. Just in case we happen upon a raptor with very sharp talons, you do not want to get, you know, injured by a bird in distress. So we carry welder's gloves in our car. We carry a blanket in our car. We try to have a box in there if we can. You know, we have lots of boxes at the shop, and so one usually gets chucked in the car. And they definitely come in handy more times than I can count. The main thing that you want to provide a bird in distress as soon as you can is a warm, calm, quiet place. So if you do scoop up an injured bird in your car, if you can, put them in a box, keep them warm, keep it quiet, keep it dark. turn your radio down. Don't blare, you know.
This is not the time to try to get it food or water, right?
No, absolutely not. You want to just give it a place to rest. If that bird is you know, critically injured, giving it food or water can actually increase its chance of not surviving. You know, if this bird goes to a rehab and it has to be anesthetized, you know, sometimes if there's food or water in that bird's stomach, it can make it more difficult. It can cause more injury. So you just want to give it warm, quiet, and calm. That's the best thing. If you can put it, you know, if you're at home and you find a bird that's out in your yard injured, put paper towels down in a box. Paper towels have less likelihood of sticking in a bird's claws. If you put a terry cloth towel or something in there, it is soft and it's comfortable, but the loops can get caught in a bird's nails. And so you just want to give them something that pads them a little bit, but won't hurt them any further.
You have had birds brought into Wild Birds Unlimited. People seem to have the sense that you are a safe place for them to bring a hurt bird. What sorts of birds have arrived at the shop?
Birds of all kinds have arrived at our shop. We've seen everyday songbirds to bald eagles. Hummingbirds come in fairly commonly. One of the most interesting ones we ever had come into the shop was someone called us and said that they had found a penguin locally. So we were like, oh, can, you know, please bring that in. Please come bring it to us. And they showed up and it was a common muir. And they're a fairly large auk bird. It nests in rocky cliffs and it spends its winters out at sea, but it nests here locally. And they tend to sit upright, kind of like a penguin does. And they have a longer bill. They're a really interesting bird to see. So we were very lucky. You don't get to see the common muirs that often either.
What kind of injury did that particular bird have?
Well, the muirs and seabirds, shorebirds are having a hard time the last few years because of the change in ocean temperatures. It affects their food supply. It's based on ocean temperatures and the ability for everything to work in succession, you know, that everything's connected in nature. Mm-hmm. And the plankton have to bloom, and then the algae have to go, and then the fish that eat the algae have to be able to eat that, and then the birds and the prey that eat those fish need that to survive. And when ocean temperatures rise and certain things don't work out correctly, it affects the whole chain. And so their food supply, the muirs, was critically impacted because of change in the ocean temperatures.
Oh.
And you see that a lot. Mark and I picked up a cormorant one time when we were on vacation. It seems like, honestly, every time we go on vacation, Mark and I find a new bird rehabber because we pick up a bird somewhere. And we had picked up a cormorant in Florida, and it was injured because of the algae blooms that happen in Florida. Toxic algae blooms, the fish eat those toxic algae, and then the cormorants eat those fish. And then the cormorants are poisoned by the fish too.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things that are connected, you know, nature.
Well, I have a particular interest in hummingbirds. And I noticed that you mentioned that you have seen hummingbirds fairly often. How do they manage? I mean, what's going on if someone brings in a hummingbird?
Sometimes it's window strikes. Sometimes it's fledglings. Sometimes, honestly, because hummingbirds, I can tell you that our Rufus hummingbird here is our most aggressive songbird that we have. They are ferocious and they defend their territory, and occasionally they fight and injure each other. So, you know, their injuries run the gamut. They, you know, can get hit by cars. They can run into windows. They can get hit defending their hurt defending their territory. Fledglings can be struggling for the first time out on their own. Cold impacts them considerably. Cold snaps with hummingbirds because we have year-round populations of them.
Wow. And you also mentioned that it's not just the birds, it's the people who are finding them.
I find that pretty interesting, who brings in the songbirds, you know, and it runs the gamut of everybody as well. But we feel like, you know, the more people that mostly we see people coming into the store who are out there in nature, you know, who are trying to connect, who are encouraging birds into their backyard, who are creating habitat in their backyards. My manager, Jessica, she honestly, she brings in a bird pretty regularly on her way into work. She'll walk in with a seagull tucked under her arm, or a saw-whet owl, or a bird she's picked up, you know, on the side of the road on her way into work. And it's just because she's kind of, you know, oriented to look at birds and see what's going on out there in nature. A lot of people are looking at birds now. And so we're seeing a lot of people bring them in.
I noticed that when this saw-whet owl was described from its journey in the Rockefeller Center holiday tree, which was a 75-foot conifer, the comment was that it had been taken to a rehabilitation center. And I thought maybe at this point, let's talk a little bit about when a bird is rescued and cannot recover. Say it's a bird, if a bird strikes a window, mm-hmm. I've seen this happen. They can often just, if left quietly, they'll get up and fly off. So locally, what do you do?
Well, we are very lucky to have Discovery Bay Wild Bird Rescue in Port Townsend. They are our local wild bird rescue and rehabilitation center, and they are specifically focused on helping native bird species. They are a very small group. They work with volunteers, and they're an amazing team. Their knowledge and the care and the dedication that they have to saving our local wild birds is pretty remarkable. Cindy and Connor Daly are the owners and the main rescuers. They're amazing. I've seen them help some of the most difficult cases of injured birds. Cindy has a true calling. Great blue herons are a good example. They are difficult to rehab. Seabirds are very tough. And Cindy and Connor, they can do it. It's really, honestly, it's Cindy's calling to help these birds. She doesn't give up on tough cases. The center even built their own saltwater recirculating pools to help with native seabirds.
Good heavens. I have a question then about, I know that this will make people listening curious about showing up at Discovery Bay Wild Birds. This is not something that we can do, right? It is not open to the public.
They are not open to the public. You know, they run a very tight ship. They're not doing tours or things like that at their facility to help the birds that they have there recover. You know, they're doing their absolute best to help these birds recover. They built a 100-foot long flight pen for eagles. They relocated a 100-foot enclosure from Yakima and onto their property in Port Townsend and built this amazing structure. They had some problems with it in when we had our Snowmageddon a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes.
The snow actually collapsed that flight pen, and they, through hard work and fundraising, they raised enough money to have it rebuilt, and it's back up now, and it's amazing. It is such a benefit to any injured raptor, bald eagle. They are so much more likely to be able to be returned to the wild if they can regain flight strength quickly.
I noticed that they have a fascinating website.
They do.
You can visit it and read stories about the birds they have rescued. And some of the birds, like the eagle that has been there for a long time, do not recover enough to leave back into the wild, but they continue to take care of them.
Yes, absolutely. Discovery Bay's website is discoverybaywildbirdrescue.com. It's easy to navigate. It's got tons of great information in it. Their birds that they cannot release become educational ambassadors for the center. And they show people the work that the center does. And they're an important messenger about the challenges that nature faces every day. They have a section on their website that is what to do if you find a wild bird. It has great information in it about what to do if you find a fledgling, what to do if you find a baby, and what to do if you find an injured bird. So there's great information there. And again, they reiterate in the website too, to call them, give them a call, let them know what you found and how, and they will help you definitely.
you have what you call the bird relay, because yes. people who stop at Wild Birds Unlimited and drop off a bird, you serve to get that bird over to the Discovery Bay site.
We call it bird relay for, or the relay for bird life. We're sort of centrally located, you know, between Clallam County and Jefferson County.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times people who are pretty far away from Jefferson County, lots of Clallam County people drop off birds at our store, and then we can help get them to the center. Either we will drive them out, or someone from the center will come up to our store and get the bird. And that definitely cuts down on the amount of time that it takes to get these birds into the rehab center for help.
You must have had to train people who work with you in the store what to do if they happen to be there when someone shows up.
Most of the time, the birds are in, they're in boxes. And so we just tell, you know, any employees that we're very focused on not causing that bird more stress. So the birds don't get handled really by us. They go into a space that's warm, dark, and quiet. We either wait for transport or wait for someone to come in and pick them up. So we try not to exacerbate any kind of stress that those birds have.
Is there a time of year when you're likely to get more birds in?
Birds show up throughout the year. In the spring, we see more juveniles come in. Fledgling birds usually sometimes spend a couple of days on the ground with their parents when they first come off the nest. Crow fledglings are very common with this behavior. People see the juvenile birds on the ground, and sometimes they assume that they're in distress or that they've been abandoned when they are really just learning the ropes of their everyday life. Usually there's a parent close by. The best thing for a bird that you see on the ground to do is just to observe it from a distance for a while and see if a parent is close by. Sometimes birds are left on the ground for a good amount of time, but they have not been abandoned. The best bet for survival of a fledgling is definitely with its family. Another common bird that is seen in the springtime are swallow babies. Swallow babies sometimes, as they grow in their nest, get kind of squished out as the babies grow. One will get popped out the side and end up on the ground. A very, very wise woman told me once that swallows can't count. And so they don't know if they have two babies or if they have three babies or if they have four babies. You can always take that swallow and put it back in a nest, whatever nest you can find. Sometimes you don't even have to put it into the same bird's nest. You know, if you have a cliff swallow nest that you can put a tree swallow into, it will be okay. And that cliff swallow mama will take care of the tree swallow baby. So, you know, I mean, there's some guidelines. You don't want to put like a swallow in a goldfinch nest, but you can put swallows in pretty much any kind of swallow nest, and the swallows will take care of them.
Well, one of the wonderful things about studying birds is that there are bird books that concentrate on showing us what kind of nest goes with what bird. So it might be helpful to find such a book if you want to get better at working with birds that might be harmed.
My very favorite book is called Nest Eggs and Nestlings of North America.
Nestlings of North America?
Of North America. It's an amazing book. It's very, very good.
Okay. Does the number of birds that need help increase during migration?
I think that, you know, definitely we see an uptick of birds that are a little bit stressed during migration. Migration is complex. It's for birds. It's an exhausting process, especially if they encounter hazards, you know, if they encounter wildfires, if they encounter storms. There's all kinds of challenges that affect them with deforestation and urban sprawl and commercial developments. It's kind of interesting. There is a website that's called Journey North, and it is about the rufous migration, and you can watch they've actually radio tagged these little hummingbirds, and you can see where they're migrating during the seasons on the website. And it's kind of amazing. And they're finding out that hummingbirds are utilizing more and more urban areas as they're migrating through. And it's not because they're, you know, addicted to hummingbird nectar that we make for them, you know, but it's because of the loss of their natural wildflowers. But once they start getting into those urban areas, they encounter a lot more hazards as well. You know, they can get hit by cars, they can run into glass windows, power lines, things like that definitely affect birds when they go into urban areas. So, you know, I feel very strongly in having people create backyard wildlife habitats. It's pretty easy. It's not a difficult thing to do. Just being able to create a little green space in your backyard, a place for birds to find food, some water, some shelter, a place to rest. It's very easy. Wild Birds Unlimited, our corporate company, has joined in with the National Wildlife Federation in making the process of creating a backyard wildlife habitat a simple and easy process. And we have great information on that on our store's website. It's a pretty simple process, and it's very beneficial to birds.
Wow. You have really brought a new perspective on birds to us today. I would like to close both by thanking you and reminding people that if they get on the Discovery Bay Wild Bird Rescue site, there's a place to donate to the work if you wish to do that. Thank you, Christy, very much.
Can I say one more thing? Just a quick plug for Discovery Bay. So this year has definitely been hard for them. All of their in-person fundraising efforts have been canceled because of the pandemic. Discovery Bay Wild Bird Rescue is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Any kind of donations that you give to them can be considered a tax write-off. And it's a wonderful time of year to give to them and help support them and their work that they do.
Thank you so much, Christy. And I know we'll be talking to you again.
Awesome. Thank you.
Now let's hear that mystery sound.
The mystery sound is not a bird, it's a bobcat. And at year's end, people often make lists of the best of, and this bobcat is my best of animals seen this year. I live off Cape George Road in the woods, and this bobcat first walked across my garden in June. I could tell it had been here often, and a month later, I saw it at 11 a.m. sitting in the middle of my driveway. I blinked and it had leapt away. They are relatively shy and they move so quickly that they're hard to observe. They are the most common North American wildcat present in most states, and they hunt at dawn and dusk. Both of my sightings were mid-morning. And if you want to know how bobcats fit in the current times, in Native American symbolism, the bobcat represents clear vision in dark places, vigilance, patience, and the ability to see through masks. Hooray for the bobcat. Thanks for joining us on Nature Now. Nora Petrich engineers our Zoomscape. We couldn't do this without her. Nature Now airs at 12:30 Wednesdays and Saturdays and around 5 o'clock on Thursdays. To follow shows after they air, go to podcasts at kptz.org and have a wonderful rest of December.
We are listening to Songs to Calm Birds. May also calm us humans.